205. And we'll see another title for this book right here. It's Wonderful Words of Life. Let's stand and sing this one together. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words. Be seated. Good way to begin. John will bring us a song here in just a few minutes. He looked like he had a surprised look on his face. It's good to see everybody. We had a good service this morning, had a couple new people. It's always good to have a fresh face in the congregation, isn't it? Just as a breath of fresh air to us. Always let people know that. Don't depend on somebody else to do it. Y'all do it. Don't scare them to death, though. We can't have 80 people going to them all at once to tell them that, but kind of break it up a little. But let them know this is a good place to be. Don't forget Tuesday night for men and women's meeting. Did you get someone, John, to do that? Okay. Okay. Then we'll be ready for Tuesday night, won't we? Could I have some ushers and we'll receive our offering? Would you bless this offering, brother? Amen. Thank you. John's going to bring us a number now. We love John, don't we?
Amen.
Yeah.
This song coming in about the old time preaching, the old time worship, the old time, and this new stuff just don't get it. I mean, that's just the wisest. That's just the way. Lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tall, it seems out of line, so that I might see, and the light that shines in darkness will save me, oh, if it would for the light out, if she would say no more. Everybody that lives around us says, tear that old lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail their way anymore. There's no use in having it around. In my mind, that story, yeah, I saw in the light. Well, it saved my life that night.
If it wasn't for the light.
And I know that we're all thankful for that lighthouse tonight. And if it wasn't for that lighthouse, we'd all be shipwrecked tonight.
Amen.
We'd all be lost at sea. We'd all be sinking without any hope whatsoever. But I'm thankful for that lighthouse tonight. I'm thankful that that lighthouse is going to safely see each and every one of us to the other shore, heaven. But I'm also thankful that that lighthouse is going to see us safely on this side too.
Amen.
The ship may get a little damaged from time to time. It may feel like you're taking on water from time to time. It may seem like it's getting tossed to and fro in the wind, but I'm thankful for that lighthouse that leads us safely to shore. And I'm also thankful tonight that the anchor still holds, ain't you? We know tonight that the lighthouse is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you right now, give me a church with 80 people that's still following the lighthouse over a church of 500 people that's following some man.
Amen.
I'd rather follow the lighthouse. I'd rather follow God. I'd rather follow the Holy Spirit. And we live in a day and a time now where the modern day church, they're looking for the newest and flashiest and best looking preacher with the best hair. And sorry, Dan, you're out. All right. I'm out too. I ain't got much hair either. Mine's fading back and all, it's turning gray and all that, which I like it. It's cool. I don't care. It don't bother me. Looking for the newest and fanciest program. Not a thing in the world wrong with programs. Anything like that. But I tell you right now, a program ain't getting me to heaven.
That's right.
A preacher ain't getting me to heaven. The lighthouse is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's what our faith and trust is in tonight. Riley, Stetson already made a noise and woke up before I started preaching, so it wasn't my fault. Okay? I hope y'all had a great Christmas and a good New Year. I know me and my family did, and I want to thank the people from church that got me and Lene and the kids some presents. We have enjoyed each and every one of them, and that's been fun and had a good time with that. And last night we had some of the younger couples from the church up, and we had a game night. Never done a game night before, so we had a game night. Jesse had done all kinds of them, so she kind of helped me organize it and all that stuff. But they all came up. We had a game night, and there were several of us up there. We had a good time, just good Christian people, church family getting together, having a good time in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I did tell Drew that if he didn't bring chicken wings, I wasn't even letting him walk in the living room of my house. He was going to have to turn around and leave. But we had a wonderful time. And Alex and Hannah was up there along with several others. And the only person I got a problem with is Alex. Alex was getting really friendly with my dog. My dog liked Alex. And I heard Alex say, "I'm just going to take you home with me." Now, Alex, I love you, brother, but you ain't going to take my dog. My dog is staying with me, all right? So you need to remember that, okay? But we had a good time. I'm glad we could get together and do that and things like that. I'm glad we can fellowship and have a good time in church, but I'm also glad we can do it outside of church too.
Amen.
And that's a special thing that we're able to do that. Isaiah 59, if you brought your Bibles tonight, Isaiah chapter 59. And what laid this on my heart and on my mind was the Christmas singing and the little parts that went with it that the choir did that Christmas Eve Sunday morning. And Isaiah, one of the things that Isaiah said, and I think Lim was playing Isaiah's part, one of the things that Isaiah was talking about over here on this stage when he was saying his part was he was talking about God's reach is not too short. His arm is not too short. Well, as Lim was saying that part through Isaiah's perspective, it took me to Isaiah 59 and verse 1. So that's all we're going to preach on tonight. There'll be some other verses sprinkled in and things like that, but we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 59 in verse 1 tonight. And so everybody turn there if you brought your Bibles with you, okay? And I tell you what, it's been you know, I preached a lot when Dan and Susie was on their honeymoons and stuff, and I enjoyed it. And now I've had about 3 or 4 weeks off, and it's like trying to learn how to ride a bike again, Dan. It just get out of the rhythm and the routine. So I'm trying to get back on the bike. I need some training wheels, all right? Isaiah 59, verse 1. And the Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Papa, I'm going to ask you to pray for me tonight. Amen. I got a text around 3:30 today, and I thought it was going to be praying for you. Can't wait for church tonight. Can't wait to hear the message God's laid on your heart and on your mind. But it was my mother-in-law, and it said, "Just so you know, the Miami Dolphins play at 8 o'clock tonight, and we got to be home." So I didn't get what I was looking for there. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. And I'm going to read that verse to you again tonight. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." And I got to thinking about Ellie and Addie, and you know, they're growing and they think that they can do some things, but they just can't quite do it yet. Ellie's the oldest one. Ellie wants to do everything by herself. She wants to get everything out of the fridge. She wants to get all the silverware out. She wants to get all the plates out. So she's learned how to climb up in the refrigerator and open it and stand inside the refrigerator and get the food out. She's learned how to climb up on the bar and all that stuff and get to the silverware and the cups and the spoons and all that stuff. But on occasion, Ellie needs help reaching something that she can't quite reach. Maybe it needs to be a spoon. Maybe she needs a spoon to eat her mashed potatoes, so me or Lene have to reach up and grab that spoon so that she's able to eat her mashed potatoes. Now, she would eat her mashed potatoes without a spoon, but we don't want her doing that. All right? And then Addie, being the youngest, and she's a lot smaller right now, not near as tall as Ellie or anything like that, but she wants to do what Big Sis is doing. So if Big Sis can do it, Little Sis can do it. So Addie's starting, she's trying to climb up in the refrigerator, and she's trying to climb up on the bar and all this stuff. And we was all up at the house last night having a good time, and we looked over to the right, and there Addie was up on the bar dancing to a song. So she figured out how to do that. But there comes a time in life, and any of us that's ever been parents here, we've all had to do this before. They can't quite reach what they're trying to grab. So mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, aunt, uncle, brother, sister, whoever the tallest one in the house is, will go and reach it for them because they're just not able to reach it. Well, then I got to thinking tonight, you can take that and you can apply it to physical things in this world. But you can also take that tonight and you can apply it to spiritual things of this world as well. And you may be here tonight and you're saved and you're a Christian and you go to church and things like that, but you just haven't reached where you want to be in your walk with God. You may be here tonight and you may be lost. You may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you might feel like that you are unreachable tonight. That you've done too many sins, or you've done too many terrible things, or that you've done too many bad things. There's no way that God can love me. There's no way that God can save me. There's no way that God can rescue me. Look at how awful that I am. Look at this terrible sinner. Look at this terrible individual that I am. Well, can I tell you tonight, as long as God has spared your life, if you're here and you're lost, and He's given you another day and another opportunity to live, God can reach as far as He needs to reach. Amen. The Holy Spirit can reach as far as it needs to reach. Jesus Christ Himself can reach as far as it needs to reach tonight. So the thought that God has laid upon my heart and upon my mind tonight is God's reach is not too short. God's reach is not too short. Now we get into verse Isaiah 59 and verse 1. And we're going to read that first word, then we're going to stop. Behold. Now what does behold mean? Behold means look here. Be sure to see. Pay close attention to. Now I had a history teacher in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade at Unica Elementary. And the day before a test, he would tell us to open up our notebooks. And he would say, look here, pay special close attention. In other words, basically this, even though the word behold wouldn't come out of his mouth, it means the exact same thing. This teacher was saying, behold, when I tell you to underline this, underline it because it's going to be on the test. Pay special attention to this part. Look at this part closely. Pay special attention to this part. So behold means to be sure of. Look here. Pay close attention to. And then I got to thinking about us tonight as Liberty Fellowship Church. What do we need to behold? What do we need to say, hey, look here? What do we need to say, hey, pay close attention to this? What do we need to say? Hey, make sure you're paying attention to this. Magnify this. Pay special attention to this. Be sure that you're seeing what's going on here. So what do we as a church tonight, what do we need to behold? Well, there was one thing that God laid upon my heart and upon my mind that we need to behold tonight. And I know we've heard it our whole lives and you're going to hear it again. But we need to behold the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we need to behold. When that choir is up here singing hallelujah, how awesome that it is, and it gets me fired up and all that stuff. But hallelujah, when they're up here singing, let's behold Jesus. When Dan is up here preaching, or when I'm up here preaching, or whoever's up here preaching, or when Tom's teaching, or whoever's teaching Sunday school, whoever's doing the special singing or anything like that, yeah, let's pay attention to them. You know, let's give them a pat on the back and say they did a great job. Let's be an encourager, like the Bible tells us to be to one another. But let's make sure that we're doing our dead level best to behold the Lamb of God. Let's make sure we're doing our best to behold the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'll tell you right now, if you behold me, I'm going to fail you. I'm a man. I'm human. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to sin. I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. But I'll tell you right now, we can behold the Lord Jesus Christ 24/7, 365 days a year. Hallelujah. Because bless God, Jesus Christ never failed. So let's behold the Lamb of God tonight. Amen. Let's magnify Him in our lives. Let's behold Him. Let's looky here at Him. Let's pay close attention to Him. You know, that's how the devil fights Christians every day. Every day, if we look at our lives tonight, folks, the devil is trying to minimize Jesus in our lives every day.
That's right.
Amen. Make Him smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until Jesus is so small in our life that we've lost sight of Him. Now I want to say that, and I also want to preface this too. Jesus don't go nowhere.
That's right.
God don't go nowhere. If God's got smaller in your life, if Jesus has got smaller in your life, if the Holy Spirit's got smaller in your life, it's because you went somewhere. God ain't left you. God never will leave you. God never will forsake you. And I've had moments and I've had times in my life where the devil's got a hold of me and Jesus has become so small in my life that I've misplaced Him. I don't know where He's at or anything like that. And the world comes tumbling down. But you know what? You know what's so great about Jesus? That even when we wander away, when we cry out to Him, He comes where we're at. And that Jesus that was so seemed so small in our life, that the world had flooded us with all these problems and all these things going on in our lives, again, Jesus shows up on the scene. And while we're in the midst of all that trouble, we get to behold the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Thank God for it. Behold. So me as a pastor, me as a husband, me as a dad, and me as myself personally, I want to take more time in 2024 to behold Jesus and who He is. And I hope we all take that as a church tonight, of believers, as Christians. Let's all of us set aside time in the day, daily, set aside time in the day just to behold the Lamb of God and His majesty and His greatness. Okay, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Man alive, I begin to think about that. And let me go back to behold here, because there's some verses I want to share. Matthew 3:17 says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying," or "and behold, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I got to thinking about that. After John the Baptizer got done baptizing the Lord Jesus Christ, God spoke from heaven and said, "And lo," or "and behold, a voice from heaven saying, this is my Son." And man, I'm pleased with Him. God took time out of the day after His Son Jesus got baptized. He was basically saying, "Behold the Lamb of God. This is my Son. I'm very happy with Him." Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah, I'll tell you right now, if God took time to behold the Lamb of God, we better take time to behold the Lamb of God. John 1:29 says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." I tell you right now, I can behold the Lamb of God. I can behold the Lord Jesus Christ for many reasons, but the main reason I can behold the Lamb of God tonight is He took away my sins. You see, nobody else would take them. Nobody else wanted them. Nobody else could shoulder that load. I don't know about you tonight, but I can't shoulder your problems. I can help you, but I can't shoulder all your problems. I can't shoulder all your sins. You can't even shoulder all of your sins. But man alive, Jesus took the cross up Calvary's hill. Every sin He carried up that mountain, hallelujah. Every burden He carried up that hill. Every bad word that was ever going to be said, He carried up that hill. Every lie that was going to be told, He carried up that hill. Every murder that was ever going to be murdered, He carried up that hill. Every person that was going to be in jail for breaking a law, He carried up that hill, bless God. And as the nails went through His hands, and as the nails went through His feet, and He gave up the ghost, hallelujah, the blood that was dripping down from Calvary, hallelujah, was the ultimate sacrifice for our sins to be washed away. Hallelujah. Behold the Lamb of God. Amen. Behold the Lamb of God that hung upon Calvary's tree. Behold the Lamb of God that walked up Calvary. Hallelujah. Behold the Lamb of God that was placed in the tomb. Behold the Lamb of God, bless God, that rose on the third day. Behold the Lamb of God that ascended into heaven. Behold the Lamb of God that's sitting at the right hand of God. Behold the Lamb of God that one day is coming back to gather up all the saints of God. And behold the Lamb of God that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Behold the Lamb of God. God's hand is not too short. As much as my mommy and daddy loved me, they couldn't save me from their sins, my sins. They could reach far and help me in life, but my mom and daddy couldn't reach far enough to pull me up out of my sins. My papa was my pastor for 30 years. Still is my pastor. He couldn't reach far enough to save me from my sins. His reach was too short. Some of y'all here, Dan's been your only pastor. I don't know if that's good or bad. No, that's great. I'm just kidding. That's a great thing. Dan couldn't even reach far enough to save you from your sins. But man alive, Jesus could. Man alive, God could. Man alive, the Holy Spirit could. God's hand is not too short. What does too short mean? Limited. It means you're weak. An inability to do something. Less able. I shared that example with you of my kids trying to reach silverware, trying to reach cups, trying to reach the TV, all that stuff. And I know that's kind of a silly example, but then I got to thinking, we're not all that different, folks. How many of us tonight as Christians are trying to reach and it's just out of grasp. We're trying to reach that next level in our walk with God, and we just can't quite reach it. We just can't quite grasp it. We're close. We may be able to get our fingertips on it, but we just can't grasp it. We just can't get a hold of it. We just can't reach it. There's people that's lost tonight. People that's lost tonight. You know what's sad about some of the people that's lost? There's some people that claim there's no God and anything like that. I'm not talking about people like that. But I'm talking about people tonight that are so lost that they feel like they know that there's a God. They know that there's a Jesus. They know that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. They know all this stuff in their mind. But they think that they're so bad that they're unreachable. They think that they're so broken. They think that they're so messed up. They think that they've lived such a bad life that they are unreachable tonight. Anybody listening online or anybody listening here tonight, I want you to know, bless God, you are not unreachable to God. Amen. Your sin might be deep, but His grace is deeper. Your troubles might be far and wide, but His grace is wider. That mountain in front of you may be so big that you feel like that you can't climb it, but bless God, our God is bigger than that mountain. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God for it. You look at some people, I know some people that's had the most troubled lives that you can think of. And if you talk to people in a community, they'd say, well, there's no way that person could be saved. There's no way that person could ever get in church, and I heard so-called church people say that about other people. Let me say this tonight. It's not us to determine whether or not somebody can be reached or not. We don't make that determination. All we do is live our life for the Lord Jesus Christ, let our light shine, and we pray that God uses the light that we let shine in our lives to reach an individual that's lost. It's not up for me to decide whether or not somebody's unreachable or not. It's not up for you to decide whether or not somebody's unreachable or not. That's between that individual and God tonight. Amen. And nobody else. But too short means you're limited. Too short means you're weak. Too short means you don't have an ability. You are less able. I know a guy that's a pastor now. His whole life, spent his high school years and post-high school years running from the law. Drug addict. People in the community would say, he ain't got no chance. He ain't got no hope. He's unreachable. No, he wasn't. God reached down and pulled him out of every bit of that, and now he's a pastor. We could go through all kinds of churches tonight, probably all around the world. And if you looked at, if you knew people's past, if we knew people, the trouble that they lived through and who they were when they were in high school, in college, or 30s or 40s, that age don't matter. Let me say this too. Age don't matter tonight, folks. You can be a 60-year-old that's addicted to alcohol. You can be a 70-year-old that's addicted to drugs or anything like that. And I'll tell you right now, you're not out of the reach of God. God can still reach you. But not only can God reach you, but He can take you. Like Dan said this morning, He can mold you. He can get rid of all them nasty and dirty pieces and make you a Sunday school teacher. Make you where you're singing songs about Jesus in church. Make you where you're standing and preaching and proclaiming the Word of God. Make you to where you help with the youth in a church. You know, I got news tonight. I think it's something that we all know, but I want to share it tonight. There ain't a single one of us in here qualified to do anything in God's house. Not a single one of us. If we looked at all of our records tonight, they'd be enough to say that person's not qualified. But hallelujah, God qualified us, didn't He? When He saved our souls. Thank God for each and every one of it tonight. So you may be here tonight, and I've talked to parents at the alternative school I work at and things like that. And I can't tell you how many parents I talk to because it's troubled kids. Nothing like Scott deals with or anything like that. It's a step below that. But I deal with a lot of troubled kids, and I can't tell you how many parents I've talked to that said, I just can't reach them. I just can't get through to them. I can't get through to their mind. I can't get through to their heart. I don't know what to do. And all I can tell them is you might not be able to reach them, but I know somebody that can, and that's God. You may have somebody in your family now. You may have a son. You may have a daughter. You may have a mom. You may have a dad. You may have an aunt. You may have an uncle, a friend, a co-worker, something like that. And maybe it seems like that they can't be reached. I want to tell you right now, keep praying, because we read here in God's holy word that the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Keep praying, bless God. Because we don't know when God's going to reach out His mighty arm. Now, they got to reach back up, too. God's knocking. It takes the person to open the door. I get that, and I understand that. And I tell you right now, God ain't never sent nobody to hell, and God is never going to send anybody to hell. People send themselves to hell. His arm is not too short that it cannot save. So let's take time to behold Jesus this year. And then those people that we know in our lives that maybe it seems like they're just unreachable, that nobody can break through to them, God can. The Holy Spirit can. Jesus can. How do we know that? Because it tells us here in Isaiah that God's hand is not too short. Can I say this tonight? Not only do the lost limit God in thinking that they're unreachable, but I think sometimes us as Christians too, we limit what God can do.
Right.
Because our expectations are so low. We've not raised our expectations to the type of God that we serve. I'm here to tell you tonight, our expectations should be through the roof. Amen. Not because of me, not because of you, but bless God, because of the God that we serve. Your expectation for your Christian life, your Christian walk with God should be through the roof. Our expectations for Liberty Fellowship Church should be through the roof tonight. Why? Because we serve a God that's greater than anything in this world. Behold the Lamb of God. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. You ever felt like nobody heard you? You ever felt like nobody could hear you? You ever felt like you was all alone? There wasn't nobody listening or anything like that? Well, I'm thankful what we can say tonight that God's ear is not heavy.
Amen.
God's ear is not blocked. I begin to thinking about things that God heard. You can read back in the Old Testament. God heard the cries of the Israelites while they were in Egypt. You can think about old Jonah tonight. God heard the cries of Jonah, and he was in the belly of a whale. I don't know about you tonight, but if I was in the belly of a whale, I wouldn't think that God could hear me. But man alive, he heard Jonah. And what happened? That whale vomited him out on the shore, bless God. Hallelujah. God heard the cries of Hannah when she prayed for a child. Are you not thankful tonight that we've got a Savior that we can behold? Are you not thankful tonight that we've got a God whose hand is not too short? And are you not thankful that we've got a God tonight that hears our cries?
Amen.
And that hears our pleas? Now, I want to go through the rest of 59 here, because I want you to see what's going on with Israel right here. Israel has separated itself from God because of its sin. And when we go through these things in chapter 59 that Israel was doing, it's going to sound a lot like what's going on today. So when you see this separation that Israel is having with God right here, you will be able to correlate that with the separation that the world has with God right now. So I'm going to read this very quickly, chapter 59, verse 2. So this is what Israel was doing at this time. Now know this and understand this, that while yet Israel was doing all these things, you got to go back to verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not too short that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he can't hear you. So this is what's going on in Israel. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. God's done with them at this point. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongues hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. You conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Now, I don't know about you, but this sounds like a place I don't want to live. Amen. I definitely don't want to take Ellie and Addie there and us hang out. Okay? I heard that, John. That was good. For anybody that didn't hear that, John said Washington, D.C. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. So in other words, what that means, the kids and stuff that are being born, the Israelites are giving birth to at this time, they're no contribute to society. Just more evils being born. Don't that sound like today? Don't it seem like every day more evil is just coming into the world? More evil is being born? Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They are eager to do evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. There's no peace whatsoever. And there is no judgment in their goings. They don't feel guilty about anything. They're just living, doing whatever they want. Don't that sound a lot like today? Yep. Nothing's wrong. Everything's all right. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Then we get here into verse 9. It's talking about how Israel's walking in darkness because of the sin they got going. I want to take a break for a second. I love young people. Young people's my passion. Stetson's here. Baby Giddy's here. My girls are here. Now they don't have much of a choice because, you know, they depend on mom and dad, you know, to live. But I want to brag on Brady and Braden being here. Two teenage boys in God's house on a Sunday night.
Amen.
I love it. And the reason I'm pointing that out is one of them came to me before church started tonight and they said, just so you know, Nick, we were in an intense video game of Fortnite and we ended it so we could come to church tonight. I'm proud of you boys. Great job. All right. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. Nobody wants to do any justice. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. Now how dark is it? Well, here it is. Here's how dark it is, spiritually. We grope for the wall like the blind. And we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. Man, that's a dangerous place to be. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God. That was it right there. Of all the terrible things that Israel is doing right here, it all started when they departed away from God. Speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, verse 14, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot end. There's no justice. There's no truth. no salvation. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. So if you're somebody that is going to try to do right now, you ain't going to make it. You're prey. Can you imagine a place being so bad that you are somebody that's trying to be good and there's so much evil going on that they would look to have you killed? That's bad, folks. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Nobody. There was nobody holding anybody accountable with what was going on. Now this verse 16. Now this all goes back to verse 1, what we went through. God's reach and God hearing. Verse 16. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Nobody was interceding on Israel's behalf at this time. It was so evil, so much sin was going on, there wasn't even nobody interceding on Israel's behalf. There wasn't even one man. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Now, what does that mean right here? God's had it right here. He's had it with the Israelites right here. They've forsaken him. They ain't having nothing to do with him anymore. But God, being who God is, what did he do? He himself stepped into the gap between his people and himself. I want to say that to you again. Make sure you get that. God himself steps into the gap between his people and himself. Nobody else can do that but God, folks. God's fed up with Israel right here. God's done with Israel right here. Nobody's crying out to God. Nobody's exercising any law. Nobody's exercising any judgment or anything like that. So what do you, what is it? Well, preacher, what do you mean when you say that? Well, here's what it means. Verse 17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. Does that sound familiar? And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. God was going to intervene on Israel's behalf even though they didn't deserve it. Are you not thankful that God intervened on our behalf even though we didn't deserve it? Are you not thankful that when nobody can intercede for us, God sent his son Jesus into the world, born of a virgin like we just got done celebrating. Hallelujah. Behold the Lamb of God. God was going to intercede on Israel's behalf even though they didn't deserve it. He himself was going to stand in the gap between his judgment on Israel. God's judgment's still going to come, folks. And God's judgment's going to fall. But I'm glad that when God's judgment falls, I'll already be up. I don't have to worry about God's judgment falling. But folks, we got a lost and dying world tonight. We got a lost and dying world tonight. I'm going to say this, and I mean this to be true. I'm so thankful that this church emphasizes the lost at any cost. If the church world today emphasized the lost at any cost more than they did the number that was on the sign, there would be a revival in the United States of America right now. I believe that with all my heart, soul, and mind. Amen. If the church were, and we've got a church, I'm thankful that we emphasize what's right. But listen, we're living a day and time. A lot of churches are emphasizing the wrong thing. If churches would start emphasizing what's in the offering plate and the lost, they would be a revival right now. And you say, well, this ain't, how can we have a revival in the day and time that we're living in? Well, don't forget who God is. Right. His reach is not too short. His ears are not blocked.
That's right.
Hallelujah. We serve the living God. We serve the risen Savior. Behold the Lamb of God tonight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Be Behold who God is. Reach the lost at any cost, whether they be in jail, whether they be in trouble, whether they be addicted to drugs, whether they be addicted to pornography, whether they be an alcoholic, bless God. Reach the lost at any cost, because God's reach is not too short.
Amen.
It wasn't too short for me. It wasn't too short for you. It's not too short for your family member. It's not too short for your co-worker. And I know we're living in a lost and dying world, but God's reach, He's still reaching, folks. He's still reaching. Let's put people within His reach tonight so they can reach back up and grab a hold of Him. Okay? That's all that God laid on my heart and mind tonight. I hope y'all got something from that. But let's really focus on beholding the Lamb of God this year. And let's really focus on winning the lost at any cost. I enjoyed that sermon this morning. That was an absolutely wonderful message. Really, really enjoyed that. Tom, I got this suit just for you.
Amen.
Okay? Any comment? You're impressed? Okay. Dan, I got this suit for you too. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Even in a tie tonight. All right? Stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. And I'm not, I hope, don't take that. I wasn't trying to put Brady and Braden on a pedestal or anything like that. But I think it's just a huge thing when teenagers come to church. It's a big thing to me. And we recognize them for what they do for everything else. Let's recognize them for being faithful to God's house. All right? I'm going to ask, Alex, you want to dismiss us in prayer? God, we thank You for this time You've given us, God. We thank You, Lord, for bringing us out to God's house. And God, we thank You for everybody that just came out and worshiped You tonight, God. And we thankful, God, for the Christian friendship and the Christian fellowship that we can have together, God. God, I pray that this message in some way, some form, some fashion was able to get through to people's hearts, God, and that You were able to minister to people. And God, I pray that You just got glory and honor out of everything that was said tonight, God. And God, we thank You for our church tonight. We thank You for our pastor. We thank You for everybody that makes it up, God. It's just everything that You're doing in this church and how You're moving and how You're blessing and how Your Spirit's just running free, God, and we thank You for it. God, we thank You for this physical growth that it's had. God, You get glory and honor of that. But more than that, God, I thank You, God, for the spiritual growth that's going on inside these walls. God, help each and every one of us to live a life that You'd have us all to live. Help us all to behold the Lamb of God. Help us all to put people within Your reach tonight. And help us to tell those people that God can still hear them and that they can reach out to God. And God will reach back out and pick them up. God, I pray that You forgive me of my sins, Lord, where I failed You, where I've done wrong for You. And God, I pray that You give everybody a safe journey home tonight as they travel. All these things we ask in Your Son's precious, holy, and wonderful name. Amen.